5 years, Lord, 5 years of observation, watching. Powerful. Because the scripture says, lay no hands hastily. I made some mistakes before, but never again. We will wait until God says so at the right time. What better time than on our last day of consecration and prayer? Hallelujah. Every single night, Brother and Sister Lewis were here. And I just honor God for that. Honor God for that.
Woo.
Well, I'm going to give you the announcements at the end because I think this is a perfect time to get into the word. Amen. Thank you, singers. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. Amen. First, I would like to thank God for even allowing for me to be able to be in this position. All this weekend, I have been in prayer and learning and understanding some things. Make sure that button is pressed down and the other things are muted, please. Been investing in myself. It's been eye-opening, to say the least. Last weekend, we made a clarion call to those to truly give, and many of you went over and beyond. Many of you did what you were supposed to do and what you were capable of doing. So much so until I actually testified about my church family at the business and training meeting that I've been at this weekend. So much so until it became a video testimonial about how our people increased their giving over 670% in one day. You don't understand. In one day. And everybody was just amazed. That let me know that we're on the right track. That lets me know that God has been truly good to you. And that we should be a testimony. And then people just started coming up to me saying, what's going on over there? What church do you attend? All these business leaders in the community. And I was like, wow, look at that. And so later on this morning, when you have an opportunity to give, don't see that as just one time. We need to keep a sustained effort. Keep it going. That's not just one time. That's not just one time, because there's so much more that we could do. Why can't our ministry be on local television? Why can't our ministry open up for the mayor and the city commission? Why not? Why not us? We're leading, but I no longer want to be the best kept secret. Amen. Those days are done. Amen. Those days are done. Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you, that you are a beacon of light. Yes. That you are a great example. And that if you look around you, it's not going to even look like this for much longer. We will expand. We will grow to the glory of God. And we will be a pillar in our community. God blessed us so that we will be able to get our kitchen upgraded and updated. And we got stainless steel. Ooh, Lord. Appliances in there. The sink will be connected next week, so that we could start getting some of the government programs with VPK and 4C rolling through. You got to have your stuff together. And so I was like, well, goodness, we done been through the fire inspection, and I was like going to hell and back again. So this is like a vacation. Won't be no problem at all, because we have God's people in the midst and ready to support. Let's get into the word for this morning. And before I do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing for us to be able to be in this place once again. We thank you, Lord God, to be an example to others. We thank you, Lord God, for even those that are watching online that may not be able to get to a church or may be far away from one. Lord God, touch those online as well. And if you see fit that they become a part of this church family, even across the electric airwaves, Heavenly Father, let it be so. Show them how to sow into the kingdom. Show them how to grab hold to the word and impact their community. We love you, Lord God. I love my church family, Lord God. And we lift up your name. We put you first, and we give all glory and credit to you for whatever success that we have going forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. And it says in verse 8, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" That was Adam. That was actually giving the answer. "And he said, 'Who told you?'" This is God. "Who told you that you were naked? Last time I checked, when I left you, you and your wife were naked and unashamed, but now something has happened. Who told you that?" I didn't tell you that. I'm getting ahead of myself. "And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?'" Lord have mercy. So the title of this morning's message is, "Who told you that?" Who told you that? Lord, help me now as we perform spiritual surgery this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my brother. When Adam and Eve, the world's first power couple, sinned and exposed themselves to darkness, it not only affected them, but every single person on the planet since that time. In what way, may you ask? Well, it was done through sin, which launched mankind into chaos. Physically, by the way of diseases, deformities, and limited lifespan, "I will no longer strive with man. So I'm going to give him a limit of 120 years. Because man has a tendency to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Evil in the sight of the Lord. All throughout the book of Kings, for over 400 years, God was patient with wicked men. He saw the condition of man. He saw the condition of man during the time of Noah. And he said, you all can't just live forever and keep on doing wrong in my sight. So I think we're going to start all over again." So sin entered in physically, but it also entered in mentally through frequent battles of the mind between positive and negative thoughts. Is you is or is you ain't my baby? Are you going to do it today or are you going to do it tomorrow? Can I do it? No, you can't do it. Can I be good? No, I can't be good. That I want to do, I don't do. And that I should do, I negate it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? These thoughts between saved and unsaved. I thought that the preacher said that when you get saved, the devil goes away. But he does not. And then most importantly, spiritually. Spiritually is actually, people of God, the core of who we are. That also fights constantly between good and evil. Light and darkness. Heaven or hell. The effects of that fateful day when Adam and Eve disobeyed God has scrambled the identity of many an individual since that time. If you think of the word scramble, think of scrambled eggs. When you crack open the egg on the side of that particular pan, you just see the yolk and you see the egg white on the round part on the outside of that. And then for many of you that go to Denny's at 12 a.m. or 1 a.m. right after the club, you'll say, I want some scrambled eggs. In other words, the state that it used to be, it doesn't look like that anymore. Its identity has been distorted. But it's still the same thing. Or at least parts of it are. And so what has happened over time is that there's been an explosion of psychiatrists and self-help gurus and therapists and psychologists, wellness experts, trying to help people find themselves or their purpose on two fronts. So let me give you one word from your psychology class that you skipped in college. The first thing is your subconscious mind, or your conscious mind, rather, and that is what you want people to see. Your conscious, what you're conscious of. I'm conscious of the way that I dress. I'm conscious of the way that I speak. I'm conscious of the of what I put on Facebook, on social media. It's a fancy way of saying that I have a nice mask, and I maintain it properly. But then there's the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is another way of saying who you really are. The real you, the one behind closed doors, the one that sometimes our children illustrate. Oh, Lord, what do you mean by that, Pastor Martin? Did you know that your children pick up every habit behind closed doors and displays them openly because they have no filter? So you think that you can hide who you really are, but no. The outbursts, the behavior, whether good or bad, comes from mama and daddy, whether they're present or absent. The subconscious mind is a fancy word for the spirit of a man or a woman. What you're dealing with? A mask or your Facebook image versus the real you behind closed doors. You need to know that most people fall into four categories. Most people will either be dominating. These are the people that just go around and they're just saying, move here, move there. They don't give a flip about what's going on. They don't really care about being compassionate. They're straight and direct. They make their decision within the first 5 minutes of service whether they're going to be here or not, whether they're going to make a decision or not. This is where most of your CEOs come from. And most of the reason why, I love this observation, is that most of the reason why a lot of people do not care for Donald Trump is not really the work that he does, it's the way that he acts. Amen. Most of you are repulsed by the way that he acts. But did you know that that's how 95% of the CEOs are behind closed doors, the ones that you work for? They got that way for a reason. They're all about the results, and whatever happens along the way, to heck with it all. They have a reptile type of mindset. Then you have the influencer. Oh, these are the people who are so happy and smiling. They're the life of the party. These individuals, I was just talking to somebody the other night. These are the individuals that if you go to the club with them, they will stay all the way until 6 a.m. and then look for another after party. And the dominating person's like, get me out of the car right now. I'll walk. I'm just trying to let you know you could fit in any one of these categories. Then there's the supporter. Oh, these are the people that like to bring everybody together before they do something. These folk run in packs. Let's all make a decision on what we're going to eat. Let's all get together and go towards the vision. Let's all get together and go to the club. I'm not going unless you go. And you're not going unless I go. And then last but not least, Lord have mercy, is the corrector. Ah, this is the person that identifies misspellings on PowerPoints. You know who you are. And I am not that. last weekend we had a slide up there as far as why do you serve, and everybody was just struggling with one sentence because sometimes I put certain things backwards. If you notice that, then you be the corrector. If you didn't give a flip, then you be the reptile man or woman. But I corrected it. Well, what I'm basically saying is that any one of us can be any one of these particular things. But there's dominant sides to us. And they can be used for good, God's glory, or they can be used for evil, for Satan and his desires. So let me give you the before picture of Adam and Eve in the garden. And this comes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. Verse 21 says, "So the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. He was dreaming about his wife. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that particular place." The closest place to a man's ribs is his heart. And so God pulled his wife out from his own heart. Everything that he needed was from out of his heart. "The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man." I'll get into that later. So in other words, verse 23 said, "The man said, 'Now this is the bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. She is everything that I want, everything that I need.'" God had to put me to sleep. And I found out that what I needed was hidden on the inside. I pulled it out before my face. And I met her eyes. And I said, "This is my bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh." I did the same thing to Lady Martin back in 1998. We were in the Moon. That was a club in Tallahassee. And I was just joking. And I had my cane because I'm part of a fraternity. And I was just like, "Wow, women and neck bone. Show sounds good to me." With two rum and cokes inside of my hand. All right, all right. And I saw her across the room. And I wasn't saved back then. But I started juking towards her. And I just started smiling. Look at that. See, that same look right there. And then I caught her eyes. Now, I wasn't saved back then, but in the spirit, it was God basically saying, "This is bone of my bone. This is flesh of my flesh." Because even back then, when I was going through so much brokenness, so many trials and tests, my mom and my dad told me to write down the list of everything that I wanted in a woman and then pray over it. Even though I did not have a close relationship with God, and then whoop, there it was. That's not to say you could find everybody in the club or in this club in my usher voice. But God had grace and mercy and brought her to me. So in verse 24 it says, "For this reason man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife." You got to get out from your mama house. You can't be all up under her. The loudest voice in the household is no longer mama or daddy. It's the wife or the husband. And they became one flesh, on one accord, on the same page. And as the man and the wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Translation, both of them were transparent with each other. They didn't have secrets. They didn't have a secret stash. They didn't have secret thoughts. They didn't have secret text messages. They didn't have secret passwords. Everything was an open book. If you ain't got nothing to hide, what you got anything to worry about? In other words, they knew who they were in God. When you know who you are, you make insecure people uncomfortable. Amen. Amen. The reason why I got Brother Al and Sister Akile and many other leaders that have been ordained or laid hands on in the past is the man of Brother Penn. The reason why I got Dewan is because I wanted somebody who was secure in himself. And I tested him plenty of times. I checked him. I said some rough things. I told them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I said, young man, can you handle a hard thing? Can you handle straight talk? And he was able to. Because I got to know that you have my back. I can't have people, whether male or female, waffling behind the front lines as we go forward. If you want to have a mega ministry, you have to have a couple of things. You have to have a mega marriage, and you also have to have people around you that know who they are and are comfortable with you being who you are and still can walk in covenant. So they knew who they were in God. They were naked and unashamed. They were transparent. They could tell each other anything. Adam, why did you name the animal an elephant? Well, God just said name him. Babe, why do you look so beautiful today? I don't know. God made me who I am. I can imagine the conversation, but then something happened. Something distorted that image. And before that image became distorted, once again, they knew who they were in God. They knew that they were made in his image and likeness. They were made to love others. They were made to dominate the world and govern the planet. This day, power couple, Adam and Eve, you will dominate over the fish of the sea, over the fowls over the air, the birds of the air, every creeping thing. You can make a lion sit down with a whip. You can ride on the back of an elephant and not flip. You could do wrestling in the alligator farm in St. Augustine and make them obey. The book of Isaiah says that there will be a day when the word of God will wash over the earth and the baby will be able to put their hand into the pit of a serpent and not be bitten. All because they were designed to dominate and rule over the planet. That time is not now. That time is in the future. Once God's kingdom comes to this particular planet. And that particular picture of the future was supposed to be the one from the past. They were made to dominate and rule, as it says in Genesis 1:26. Over everything around them, but not each other. See, some people believe that dominate means being angry. Dominate doesn't mean being angry. Being angry means you've lost the control. And you're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. They were also made to be naked and unashamed of God's plan for their lives. When God has called you, you shouldn't be ashamed about it. When God has put a plan and purpose in your life, you shouldn't want to just sit back and rest on it. When God has placed a gift on the inside of you, you need to display that before all of the world to see. Hallelujah. Who in here wants to transform this community? Say yes. Who in here wants to have their dreams and visions realized? Say yes. If you want those particular things, then you need to go back to the blueprint. But then I have to ask the question. If you look at yourself now and you have a distorted image in your mind, in your body, or in your spirit, and you've heard some things, people have been in your ear, I'm going to ask you, who told you that? Who told you that there were no good churches anywhere? Who told you that it's not good to be faithful to your spouse? Who told you that it was normal not to listen? Who told you that? Where did you get that from? And sometimes we battle between voices of God and then the voices of men. So let me show you the after picture. The after picture in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 11 says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." They were walking in his presence. That's what that means. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They created a distance between themselves and God, not the other way around. Sometimes when you don't hear God, you moved away from his voice. You're hiding among the trees of the knowledge of good and of evil. In other words, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is nothing more than partaking of darkness. That's what it is. The absence of God is darkness. That's why when humans don't have God in their lives, everything goes out of whack and it's chaotic. Because you can't see. There's no guiding light. Verse 10 says, so he said, this being Adam, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. This reminds me of when my mama says, I, my, me. When you say I, oh goodness, I thought it was supposed to be we. That's how it was in the very beginning, but because you made a decision to go contrary to my word, now, Adam, man, you have to take account for your choices. And then God said, who told you that you were naked? I didn't do it. I didn't tell you that you were not going to amount to anything. I didn't tell you that you couldn't be a good husband or couldn't be a good wife, couldn't be a good mother or father. I didn't tell you that. I didn't tell you that you were supposed to leave your life as a criminal. Where did you pick these things up from? Who told you these things, these destructive things in your mind? Who told you that you have to be emotionally incarcerated and that you can't express yourself and that you're weak as a man for crying or that you have to dry your tears as a woman in order to be seen as strong? Who told you that? Surely it wasn't God. Someone else said something. Or sometimes we say things to ourselves when there is no voice to direct us. Who told you you were naked? And then God proceeds to say, did you make a decision without me? Did you make a decision without me? Did you? Do something that you had no business doing? Did something happen to you in your absence? Notice I didn't say it in my absence. Oh, you missed it. Not in my absence, because God never went anywhere. He comes close on purpose. Who said something to you in your absence from me? Who poisoned you to think that you're not worthy enough of a good man or a good wife? Not worthy enough to be a deacon in the church? My history, you don't understand. My history, my past, I got a past. But God says that if I created you, I was there from the very beginning. So I'm actually your true past. I'm actually your true past. Before you entered into your mother's womb, I knitted you together. I gave you your original name. John, Sue, or Sally, Andre, not your original name. Your original name is written on a white stone in Revelation 2:17, of which only I know the name of it. And you'll recognize it when you get to heaven. How do you think I talked to you before you came into this world? If you know somebody, you know them by name. He knows my name. He answers when I call. So what I'm trying to help you with this particular morning is to remember your past, but not the destructive part. Remember the voice of the Lord before you entered into your mother's womb. The womb, as the King James states, is like a matrix. It's where things are put together. But God's saying that before you even got in there, before you were conceived, I knew you. That means that man and woman is spirit first. And that's what the devil tries to distort. First is your spirit. That's why you can have a gentleman named Nick Vucevic who has no limbs on his body. He rides around on a skateboard, but yet he's a public speaker making millions of dollars, and he has a wife. Because man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. And he was not going to let his physical limitations, he was not going to let what people thought about him deter him from his goal. What about you who have all of your limbs, who has food on their table, clothes on their back, and a place to stay? What are your limitations? Why are you arguing from your limitations? Why are you justifying the destructive things that have happened to you and guarding them in order to stay the same? I believe it's because many of us follow the law of first facts. I didn't want to say first truth, because truth is something that does not move, does not change, whether it's political, social, economic. The truth is the truth. What goes up must come down. If I say that and I'm a criminal, it's still the truth. If I said that and I've been married for 500 years, it's still the truth. If I never graduated from college and I say what goes up and must come down, it's still the truth. So many of us don't know the truth of who we are. Many of us follow the law of first facts. A fact is something that did happen. For example, between the ages of 3 to 12 years old is when we are being developed, and this is when the enemy creeps in to inject poison into the vulnerable. It is how we see the world, our worldview. How we picture things, how we see things. Are you looking through the eyes of your molester? Are you looking through the eyes of a mother who was on drugs, or a father who was absent? Are you looking through the eyes of someone who told you that you would never amount to anything? Because you heard it over and over and over again. And if you are, I'm here to tell you that that is not the truth. Amen. Your true past walked in the cool of the day. The true past is when God shaped you and he formed you in his mind first. What is man thou art mindful of him? That you made him a little lower than the angels. And now I'm looking at you as a step lower than the angels. And when you pray, man or woman of God, those same angels that are in my throne room on a regular basis, you have them at your disposal. When you pray, you turn the king of all of heaven and earth to zero down in on your affairs. That is a far cry from the facts of your life. Sometimes those images are repressed because they were so painful. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to speak about that. I'm just going to just let it slide. But what it is that it's actually growing, and it'll come out at a later date. Other times we don't remember, because there was no trauma. So you may not be able to relate with this because you had a good childhood. Most people who have good childhoods may remember a couple of things. I had birthday cake and then that was it. I don't remember when I was 5 or 6 or 7 years old. Maybe that's your same experience. I had good experiences, but not everybody in this room had those good experiences. So that's the audience that I'm talking to this morning. If you fit within this category, that if you have distorted facts that came from the enemy and he gave you some strange fruit, that you have bitten from or was shoved into you, you no longer have to partake of it. You don't have to eat from it again. But then there's others of you that got a little bit older, and then you were wondering why I got into so much trouble in high school and in middle school. It's because many of us act out those facts from the time of days past. During our teenage years, mama, daddy, let me give you some details on this. The reason why they start acting all strange is because they're trying to find out who they are or what they will be. There's a lot of things that are competing for their attention. That's why they start looking like every person on celebrity TV throughout those years. This year may be Taylor Swift, tomorrow may be Celine Dion. This day it may be 21 Savage, and the next day it may be Kodak Black. This particular day, I'm going to look in my day like Master P. The next day, I'm going to try to be like Genuine. In order for me to be like Genuine, I have to go to Winn-Dixie and get some of that curl activated. Because my hair, pony, and then. So a lot of times we act out what's on the inside of us, still absorbing the good or bad or whatever was planted on the inside. They're acting out right now. Well, that's because the seed is growing. So parents, mentors, whoever you may be, it's our job to prune and redirect. Have you ever seen somebody that does topiary? Okay, topiary is a person who knows how to make those shapes. Oh, takes a plant like a bush or a brush or some type of hedge and making it to different shapes. When you go to Disney, you may see Mickey Mouse, but it's actually a tree or a bush. Your mom or your dad may know how to take and round and make different types of shapes. It may be a circle, it may be a square, it may be a character, it may be letters or numbers. That's the art of topiary. In other words, the person is skilled enough to allow for the thing to grow, but then shape it into an image or likeness that it has in its mind. You get what I'm saying? So, as mentors, as leaders, as parents, it's our job to prune and shape, to not grow it into our image or likeness, but into the image and likeness of God, to cut away at the flesh, not to tear them down, but to build them up. And even if you are not a good example, you point him or her to the perfect example, which is Jesus Christ. The character will push through all of those facts of life, the facts of life. And that's what happens as I transition to adults. The facts of life. We're walking out many times what has happened to us. We put up these masks, we put up these walls in order to keep people out, but truthfully, we're imprisoning ourselves. You thought that you were protecting yourself. Oh, I get it. You thought that you were protecting yourself because you didn't want to let nobody in, not again. Never again, never again. All the while, people are trying to get in. That's a long tower up there. How am I going to get into Rapunzel? Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. How am I going to get in there to your heart? How am I going to get into your heart? Brother, you got a large, tall wall. It's like Jericho. I either got to put some dynamite and blast it, or there's somebody unlikely that's going to let us in. Why the wall? Who put the wall around you? Did you put the bricks up? Or was it the people that you were listening to that put those bricks around you? Because you know there's the friends that will help take down the walls and will build you up. And then there's people who will tear you down and build things around you up just to imprison you in the same prison that they're in. And then there's a tunnel going between both of the prisons, and then y'all exchanging ideas but not going anywhere. Everybody who is inside of jail has the same thing on their mind. How to get out. And how can I survive while I'm in here? Which one are you? Are you just going to be a survivor? Or are you going to try to get out? That's good. So as I conclude, who told you that you were naked? Who distorted your view of God, of life? Who poisoned you early? Who took your identity? Why do you have a mask of strength when you're just a little boy or girl on the inside? Why is it, and I used to hear this all the time, when somebody loves you, you push them away. Maybe you don't know what love is. True love. True love is not based on emotions. Lady Martin will tell you, every now and then, when I start acting like the reptile man, the dominating one, because that's part of my personality. Y'all, some of y'all have seen that 5% of me. I'm dominating and supporter. But every now and then when that part of me comes out and I just don't give a flip and I'm just very, very rude and cantankerous and I have my Donald Trump Make America Great Again hat on. She got to check me. She has to let me know who I really am. So I can turn from being green back to myself. But that requires a choice. I'm still who I am. But now I'm willing to listen to those around me that will help me become better. Can you do the same? I'm not saying change who you are. Be who you are. But allow for people to let you become the better version of yourself. That's what it's all about. So every now and then she does not like me. But because she loves me, she don't like that part. She helps me to tone it down. You're talking too loud. So loud. Just like that little meme. And then, that's what she does. And then I have to tone it down. And sometimes I don't want to tone it down. It's kind of hard to stop a lion from roaring. That's my nature. It's good when it's directed in the right situation. Amen. Amen. When it's directed in the wrong situation, you could kill everybody. Yes. And that's for my lionesses in here too. Amen. Did you know that the lionesses are actually the ones who do the most killing? It's the lion that sometimes they got to sit back and be like, I don't feel like messing with her today. But you could still be the lead. Both of y'all could be there together. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you couldn't be the best lawyer? Thank you for looking. Good. I didn't even say her name. Who said you couldn't be the best customer service rep? Best business owner? Best father, husband? Who said that? Who said that you will never get married with all them kids? Who said that? Surely God doesn't think that because he had a blended family himself. Joseph was not the father. But yet, that family changed the world. Who told you that you couldn't bounce back and make a testimony? The Lewises have a powerful testimony, and it's not my business to share it. But the reason why they have been anointed and appointed is because when they share it, it will change many lives. Now you know why all hell broke loose. Because a testimony is no good unless there is a test. And this particular generation that we live in, they don't give a flip about these likes, camera, being on social media. Hey, y'all. Hey, everybody. Send your tithe and offering, please. They don't care about none of this stuff. They listen to testimonies. How'd you make it? How'd you make it? You got a book, too. And you can write really good. Many of you do. Many of you got great stories. And y'all could pack this whole place out just by sharing it. Just don't share it too early. You got to overcome first. It's not a testimony if you still are on number 50 out of 150 questions. All right. And even as pastors and as leaders, you don't give the person a microphone when they're number 25. We've seen that on social media before too. Who told you that you were naked? Why are you ashamed? You shouldn't be. Sister Marcia, you shouldn't be ashamed of anything because God created you. Mother Chester, don't be ashamed. God created you for a plan and a purpose in this lifetime. Kai, Joachim, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. God is doing some great things in your life. And even if you impact just a few people or just your own household, that individual can change the world. Change the world. So I'm going to do some nice little things this morning as we close. And I want you to repeat after me. Come on, stand to your feet. Shake that devil off. Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. In the name of Jesus. Shake the devil off. All right. That's like an old song, too. You might as well keep on playing it. Keep on playing it, dude. That's perfect. So what smiles on your faces, I want you to repeat after me. Now, here's the disclaimer. You may not feel like saying it, but let's make the devil mad and shake him off this morning. Amen. We're pushing past that flesh because there's going to be a brighter day, a brighter day. You ain't going to go back and forth with the devil this morning, all right? All right. Repeat after me. I can see the kingdom of God. Because I am born again. I don't worry about everyday life. God knows my needs and meets them because I make his kingdom my primary concern. Because Jesus died for my sins, I am no longer separated from God, because I place my hope in the Lord. My strength is renewed. And the last one, God has given me all to make an impact in this life, and I will walk in my purpose. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Always remember that you were made to be made you who you are. Don't be ashamed of who God made you to be. Everybody got some baggage, right? There's nobody in here that's perfect. If you're perfect, let me worship you right now. So since ain't nobody perfect, and we made from the dust of the ground, that means everybody in here got some dirt. But let's not use that dirt and throw it on somebody and muddy up their lives. Just use that dirt as a place to plant seed so that we can grow into all that God wants us to be. All that God wants us to be. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're done. We're finished. Do you have some announcements, Sister Amanda? And as you come up with the announcements, go ahead and get a seed in your hand because it's time to give. Amen? It's time to give. It's time to give. Our ushers will be attending to you in the back. The snack shack is being prepared as well for your food and your beverages. For those of you that are watching online, we're purposely and intentionally extending our doors out to you to also become a part of this church family. Things have changed, y'all. Amen. Things have changed. I got like 400 friend requests within the last 3 days. After I spent all that time trying to delete all of them, they just pop right back up again. So since you're here, and since you want to know who I am and what we're doing in the community and about our ministry, why not sow into the kingdom of God from the comfort of your own home, all right? Amen, amen. And I'm talking about people who are checking us out for the first time, because our foyer, which is where people are welcome into, the internet has turned into the new foyer. And we are introducing ourselves globally to individuals who are looking for a place to hear the word of God. So even those of you that are watching online right now, there's three ways to give. And also internally, there's three ways to give. The first way is to go to our website at www.divinetruthcc.org. Can you put the graphic up there, Jamar? Thank you. www.divinetruthcc.org. That's the first way. The second way is to use the Square card. So all of my online people, you could go to divinetruthcc.org, or you could go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page. If you were watching this on my wall this morning, just click on Divine Truth Christian Center and then click on the donate button, and it will redirect you to sow a seed into this ministry. Amen. We're trying to do great things in this community and beyond. And then also the next way is our Square card. Our Square card is in the back right now. We have our attendants back there. You can use whatever form of payment that you're the ability to use. Make sure that when you give, you don't give and decrease from last week. Many of you gave $250 because we were trying to get back on track with the things that we need to do for our house right here. It's going to be very difficult to help somebody with their house if our house is not straight. Correct? Correct. So don't let that testimony of us increasing our giving by 680% in one day go back to the original number that we all heard before. All right? Okay, let's make it a sustained effort. Let's continue to do it. And if you need help with budgeting, go back to last week's message, Boss Up, and read about how to budget and understand money appropriately so that we will never have to have this conversation again. And if we do need to have the conversation, it's with new people that are coming to the church, all right? To let them know how to be good givers in the kingdom of God. Amen. And then finally, we have our offering envelopes. I don't call them collection plates, because anytime you think of the collector, you think about that 800 number that pops up, that you always slide that red button to the left on your phone and you don't pick it up. It's not a collection plate. Consider it as sowing into the kingdom. Amen. Amen. So I asked you early, do you want to transform this community? Say yes. No, no. Do you want to transform this community? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. So if you do, take that seed and go to the back or see one of our ushers, and they will help you accordingly. Be blessed, people of God.
Amen. We can go ahead and give at this moment. This is the perfect time.
Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Yeah. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Sunday.
Giving the announcements for this afternoon. The first announcement was January being First Lady Appreciation Month. I just want to say that I appreciate every last one of you that that wrote a message, that called, that text, that gave a gift, that gave a card, and that showed your appreciation to me. I thank you very much. I love my church family, and I love everyone that is in here. Thank you so much. The next announcement is on this Saturday, February the 2nd at 11 a.m., a Divine Design Women's Ministry presents Girl, Get Your Life. Balancing it all. So join us for a fun and creative outing at All Fired Up, located in Winter Park. It is a paint-it-yourself pottery studio with pieces starting at $10. We will also engage in important conversation with each other as sisters. Amen. For more information, please see Sister Alicia Winsley. Raise your hand. Our Sister Akile Mara. Raise your hand. Amen. These two phenomenal women are organizing our monthly women's events, and it has been excellent. And I truly appreciate both of you all for taking the time out to get us together. Amen. Next Sunday, February the 3rd at 6 o'clock p.m., Gideon's Circle will host a Super Bowl potluck. Ooh. Y'all know we love to eat.
When they put this graphic up, I almost cussed because I saw that man on the left up there on that screen. I wanted to see Patrick Mahomes instead of Tom Brady. But the coaches were just doing all types of crazy calls, and it just really made me upset. So I'm still feeling some kind of way. So I'm officially a Rams fan right now, but I'm kind of, Jared Goff is kind of suspect though, so. So that night I'll be feeling some kind of way, so bring your spades. If you want to get beat up on some spades and stuff like that, you go ahead and come through and I'll just go ahead and thump you, all right? Okay.
So as you can see, it's the New England Patriots. I don't know much about football, but, so, ooh, we got some Patriots fans. Oh boy, versus Los Angeles Rams. Uh-oh, he finna sling the oil. So make sure that you come dressed in your favorite team's gear. If your team didn't make it, you can still come and hang out. Everyone's welcome to attend, and the game starts at 6:30 p.m. I'll be here for the commercials and the food. So if you don't like football, come out anyway for the commercials and the food. Amen. Saturday, February the 23rd at 9:30 a.m., join us for our first community outreach event of the year. Yes, it will be held at the Boys Town Shelter of Central Florida in Oviedo, Florida. We will be providing lunch for boys and girls that have been placed in the shelter due to various situations. We are in need of volunteers to help cook, serve, and donate items. We now have a brand new stove in there so we can cook. Amen. Serve and donate items. So the menu is barbecue chicken, baked beans, potato salad, and drinks. Amen. So if you're interested in assisting in this awesome opportunity, please see Sister Latoya Lewis. Please raise your hand, Sister Latoya. Yes, and that is a wonderful opportunity also for our young people to come out and serve and serve those that are less fortunate than us. Amen. Sunday, February the 24th, during service, we will have our child dedication ceremony. That's the first one of this year. So if you have a child, we don't just dedicate babies. We dedicate children all the way up to the age of 12. And after the age of 12, then they are aware of God and they know enough to make a decision whether or not they want to receive God as their Jesus as their personal Savior. So up until the age of 12, we do participate in child dedication ceremony. So if you are interested in dedicating your child on Sunday, February 24th. Please see me for more information. I'll make sure you get all of that information. Also, Sunday, February 24th, after service, we will have our new membership VIP luncheon to welcome all of our new members who have joined this year. Come on, put your hands together. Hallelujah. God is increasing. He is increasing and he is enlarging our territory. And we want to honor all of those who are new members of Divine Truth Christian Center with a VIP luncheon. Today is the last day of our 21 days of fasting and prayer. Hallelujah. It has been amazing. It has been amazing. If you have not been here, haven't had the chance to be here, I encourage you to come tonight because God is moving. He is doing things. And just I want to give a quick testimony about that. So we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock to corporately pray for God's provision. Amen. And so one of the nights that we had prayer, God was just moving and he was speaking all over the sanctuary. But God touched Sister Alicia's heart. And he told her, she just called out the word breast cancer. And no one knew why she said it, but she said, God said, breast cancer. And so little did she know that I had a conversation with our director, our Truth Learning Academy director, and she said that she had to leave. She had an emergency, and she found out that her sister had breast cancer. And so the family was just devastated because she's a young lady, and they're like, I don't know how this can happen. They were talking about mastectomy. They were talking about all these different things, and so she was devastated. She was heartbroken, and so I came in that day, and I filled in. And so this past Friday, I talked to her and I said, and we were just talking about different things. And I said, by the way, how is your sister? Because I told her we had been praying and we prayed for her and everything. And she said, Lady Martin, I got chills because my sister, they said that my sister has a tumor the size of a pin needle now and that she will die of old age before she dies of breast cancer. And when I tell you, we had a Holy Ghost good time right there in that hallway. The kids, the teachers were doing whatever with the kids, but we were back there praising God because of the power of prayer. So never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate joining together and in unity and on one accord and praying for one another because it is powerful and it does work. Amen. Amen. I'm almost done. Save the date, March the 9th at 9 a.m. Yes, the Power of Prayer Breakfast, hosted by Rivers of Living Water Ministry, which is right up the road. It will be held at the Sanford Civic Center. So tickets are only $13 for adults and $8 for children. For more information, please see Sister Alicia Winsley. We went last year, and it was amazing. It was amazing. You talking about prayer? You talking about, ooh, Jesus, lighting up that place with prayer? It was it was amazing. Okay, I'm trying to tell y'all how good the prayer was. Pastor trying to tell y'all how good the grits were. So we were spiritually and physically fed. Yes, the food was good. But come out, please, for the Power of Prayer Breakfast because, like I said, it is an anointed Holy Ghost good time. The powers are strong. The powers are effective. And it just continues what God has already told us to do in this house. So if you're interested in joining us, we will be there. Come out or see Sister Alicia Winsley, and she can give you information. Also, on March the 20th through the 22nd, is the Covenant Fellowship International Spring Conference hosted by the Potter's House International Ministries. That is our spiritual covering in Jacksonville, Florida. So Bishop McLaughlin will be celebrating 20 years in the office as a bishop and 20 years of Covenant Fellowship International. 2020. Do you have the graphic? No graphic? Okay. We'll make sure we have that next week. But everyone is invited to attend. There's no registration fee this year. So if you want to join us in Jacksonville, Florida, please let us know. And we'll make sure you get the information that you need.
some of the people that will be attending that particular conference, for many of those that you know, my hometown is in Jacksonville, Florida, and I grew up in the west northwest quadrant, close to Durkinville, 10th Street, y'all. And Bishop McLaughlin is my spiritual father, and his ministry is there in Jacksonville, Florida. Many of you all already know that. He ordained me in 2011. Great man of God, transformation. If you want to see where divine truth is going, you should meet me down there on that particular day. We're going to have individuals such as John Jenkins, who is the pastor of First Baptist Church of Glen Arden, which is the largest church in all of Maryland. I mean, it's just like phenomenal. It will also be Randy Morrison, great man of God, great pastor, Caribbean pastor, and he will also be there. Travis Green will also be there as one of the psalmists, which is going to be a great, phenomenal time, as well as Bishop Harold Ray. And so it was just a great time. I've gone every single year. If you do want to go, Friday is really a good day for you to go and make that trip. Just do like a quick little overnight thing. And the cool thing about Jacksonville is that it's only 2 hours away, so you can go there and then come back the same night, okay? So if there's any time that you want to see what I see, and the reason why I'm so adamant about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, transforming the community, bossing up with birthing out several streams of income and expressing our gifts, then you will see why. You'll be able to see the bowling alley. You'll be able to see the mall. You'll be able to see the 414,000 square foot of properties that he has. You'll be able to stop by the bistro and get you some oxtails. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Okay, now here's the thing. Being that I am going, I'm going to tell on some of y'all. I am not your order taker. I am there to enjoy the conference. Now, if you want me to pick up some food, there will be a surcharge. I'm telling you, you got that. I mean, there's going to be a surcharge. So I'm going to charge you an extra $5 on top of that if I got to take y'all orders. I'm just teasing y'all. You should try to come. That's what I'm saying. You should try to come. All right. All right. Am I done? Are you done? I got a piece of napkin on my head. That's all right. That's the story of my life. Blessing bags. Go ahead. Do you want to finish? Oh, I got the mic. She said she done. Blessing bags. Blessing bags are available in the lobby. Make sure that you go out and you get those. If you need instructions on that, please see Sister Akilah Mara for those. Also, the Snack Shack will be open on today for your food and beverages. We're trying to turn it up, y'all. Like I said, next week we'll be putting in and getting the sink connected, our commercial sink. Oh, there it is. That's the flyer right there. All right. Great man of God, my spiritual father, he is a trip. I say he is a trip. He is hilarious. He is absolutely hilarious. So, yes, that is my spiritual father. He has helped our ministry financially, spiritually. I mean, just in every single way. I've done some speaking for him, which I was like, why me of all people? But then, why not me? And so he is a great man of God, my daddy in the spirit. And so these are the individuals that will be there. So, yes, make it your business. If you want to make a trip, if you want to ride, let's go ahead and ride. I'm going to be staying with my parents or whatnot. But you got to get your own place to stay, because my parents ain't having that. They don't want no extra people at the house. As old as I am, they don't want no extra people at the house. So make it your business to come on that particular day. And then finally, Truth Learning Academy. Truth Learning Academy is still accepting enrollments. Be sure to invest in the first of many businesses that God has blessed us with. Once we get that sync done, then we're going to go through the USDA inspection. And then we've already submitted for VPK and 4C. So that's just like an any day thing. Once the government shutdown happened, it slops all of that stuff. But then we were praying, and then on the 20th day, that's Friday, it was like, yeah, the shutdown is over. So that we're trying to get our application in before he started tripping up there in the White House, all right? Ain't that crazy? It's like you know you ain't got no money in your account. You write that check, and you just hope they don't clear before you get your check, all right? So we're trying to get everything in there and get everything approved so that we can go ahead and start growing this daycare, and it's already on its way. Two other children have just been added, and so there will be many, many more in the future. All right? God bless you. Oh, yes. And then finally, we have our membership certificates. Can Sister Kai, Brother Joachim, and Sister Brianna please come forward? Amen. So Lady Martin is going to go ahead and give you your certificates, and we're going to take pictures. The first one being Breonna Bell. All right, now. All right, now. So you got to hook me up so I can see Tampa Tony soon. She's like laughing. Like, yeah, please. All right. There we go. Kang Wang with it. That's her nickname. All right. Oh, the mic? Okay. All right, Kang Wang with it. All right, next up, Brother Joakim and Sister Kai, come on up. Y'all clap your hands. Clap all your hands. All right. This great man of God right here, he is something else. My unofficial business advisor. He expensive now, so you can't waste his time now. But he's a great man of God and immensely wise. You're going to be hearing from him very soon in the future for sure. And then for Sister Kai, Joakim told me about you. He told me that you are talented, that you know a whole bunch of stuff. And so your face don't say all of what you know how to do. So you're extremely gifted, all right? So now that he done told on you, I'm expecting great things from you. All right. And you too, Tristan. All right. All right. He is fussing me. All right. So, okay. Expect great things from this family. Expect great things from them. Amen. 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 That's it. And those, for those of you that have been expressing that they want to join this ministry, just see me and we'll hook you up. All right. All hearts and minds. Come on, stand to your feet because we're done. Y'all stomachs are rolling around. I love you, Pastor Martin, but I smell food in the hallway. Food and out. I see, as my daddy said, turkeys flying across the air. All right. All right. I'm done. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. You were made in the image of God. Amen. Bless people of God. See you later.